Thank you, brother. Thank you, Miss Pat. Praise ye the Lord. Anybody got a testimony, a praise you want to give? You feeling well and you made it, amen?
Made it through the 2021.
Made it through. Ain't it sweet to know who you could make it through with, amen? That's right. Who we making it through with? What's that, Carolyn? Happy New Year. All right, let's jump in the book of the Bible. Acts. We're up to chapter 2 in our reading, but we'll look at it. Just give a little background of chapter 1 and chapter 2 and look at a couple things that are going on within. I encourage you to really, really take your time as you're going through it over the next 20 plus days. We'll close out the month in the book of Titus. There's a reading calendar up here. We send out a picture of that calendar as well, so make sure you get you one. But it's just fundamental for us to really pay attention to the continuation of what Jesus established, what he has empowered, what he has equipped us, what has he called us to do. This is what the body and the believers have been set apart to walk in and to fulfill. We see it. We see it right here being manifested before us in this message that Luke wrote to Theophilus for all of us. And he starts out that letter this way, Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1. The former account. So when you read that, the former account that I made, that tells us that Luke wrote something else. What did he write? We have what? The Gospel of Luke. And in his first message that he wrote, he directed it to Theophilus as well. Now, we can talk about Theophilus. That's not the point of the message. The point of the message is the work of Christ by way of the Holy Spirit in the life of his people. This is the message of the book of Acts. Now, obvious, Theophilus was somebody important to the physician, Luke, and he wanted him to have a record not only of what Jesus began to do and to teach, but he followed it up with the inauguration of the church publicly, displaying that. We see that in chapter 2. And then the work of the Holy Spirit through the apostles, that the message of Jesus made it to us way over here in America in 2022, because these men took God serious and walked in what he gave them. We get to celebrate it today. And we get a we have a record of it. So he says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus, a word you want to circle there, that Jesus began, both to do and teach, because Jesus is still doing and he's still teaching. Amen. He's still doing and he's still teaching. Now, the question that we then, when we read something like that, we got to ask, what is he doing and teaching me? What is he doing and teaching us? What is he doing? If he began something, he began it for a purpose. God never does anything accidental. And if he's doing anything and teaching anything, I want to be part of it. Are you with me? And I want to know it. So he wrote it, the first book, and you can't really understand the book of Acts without understanding the idea of the message of the Gospel of Luke, what he first wrote, as well as the close of Luke's Gospel, because the close of Luke's Gospel is going to blend right on into the opening of the book of Acts. And we'll look at that just in a moment and see. But he says, verse 2, the things that he wrote, he said, I wrote them until the day in which he was taken up after, through the Holy Spirit, he had given commandments to the apostles which he had chosen. So Not only did Jesus do things, and he is doing things, not only did he teach, and he is teaching, but he gave commandments. He gave commandments for us to walk in. He gave us orders to walk in. That's where the close of Luke comes in. That's where Matthew chapter 28 will come in. What did he say in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to the close of the book? All authority and power have been what? Granted to him. And therefore go into all the world and go make what? Disciples. And those disciples that you make, teach them. Baptize them. Teach them everything that I taught you. And lo, he says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you to the end of the age, to the end of the world. So that means God's still doing a work. Amen. He's still teaching things to us.
Amen.
Those commandments are just as significant today to us as they were to them in that day. So we then have to know, okay, what then are these messages, these commandments that he gave to these apostles who they're going to fulfill, as we see in Luke's letter about the acts of the Spirit in the work of these apostles. Verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive. That's a key. Jesus is what? He's alive. We need to know that. He presented himself alive after he suffered, after suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So here we are, Brother Shannon. Jesus spoke about things pertaining to the kingdom. And if it was important to Jesus, it should be important to us.
Amen.
It should be important to me. If Jesus gave them orders, I need to know what those orders are. If Jesus was teaching, I need to know what he was teaching. If he was doing a work, I need to know the work that he's doing. And we need to be part of it. Amen?
Amen.
If there was an Acts chapter 29, it ought to have our lives all written through it. Amen? Even though there's no Acts 29, it stops at Acts 28. But remember, the work continues. The teaching continues. The commandments continue. The kingdom of God continues. So Jesus taught them about things according to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. And you've got to keep in mind, where were these men from?
Galilee.
They were from Galilee. They were from Galilee. So they didn't live in Jerusalem. They didn't belong in Jerusalem. But God's going to do a work in them that's going to start in Jerusalem. So he told them to stay in Jerusalem because the natural thing, Mr. Billy, would be to go back home. But they were told not to go back home. There was a reason why they were told not to go back home, because God was going to inaugurate something publicly before the world, just like Jesus was publicly inaugurated by God at his baptism when John baptize him. The scripture says he came up from the water being immersed in it, and John looked, and what did John the Baptist see coming upon Jesus? It wasn't a dove, it was the Spirit, but it just makes reference that it appeared like a dove in the sense of how a dove, which is spoken of in the scriptures as being what? A gentle creature. When a dove don't come in like an eagle swooping in to grab its prey, or when it comes into a nest, a big old eagle or another bird comes in fast and violently to get what it's after, a dove usually what? Lights upon it real soft, real easy. So the picture is when Jesus was baptized, he come out of the water, John saw the heavens split open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus in a very gentle, calm way. And then John heard what? They heard a voice. Not everybody there, Brother Shannon.
That's right.
They heard a voice, and that voice said, this is my son whom I am well
pleased.
Okay, now this is important for us at Pentecost. Why is it important for us at Pentecost? Because at Pentecost, we also see two things happen Just like we see with Jesus when he was inaugurated as his ministry was made known, because John was his cousin, but John said, I don't know him. Yeah. But God told me, I'm going to see the Spirit come upon him. And when I see the Spirit come upon him, that's him. And the next day after John baptized Jesus, after seeing the Spirit come upon him, after hearing the voice of God, they standing out the next day. And when Jesus walked by, John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And Peter and John and all them began to follow him from there. And then the Spirit of God led Jesus out into the wilderness. Y'all remember reading that just recently, the last couple of days? In the last month, we read it twice, where the Spirit led him and the Spirit filled him. And then after he was tempted by the enemy, he left the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. All that's fundamental for us because we need the Spirit upon our life. We need to be filled and led and in the power of the Spirit as well. But just like Jesus was inaugurated in his public ministry, because nobody knew. If they would have saw Jesus the day before, they wouldn't have known who he was. They wouldn't have made any report about him. He wouldn't have stood out like anybody else. The scripture says nobody would have recognized him as being the Lamb of God until God publicly inaugurated him for John to see it. Then John started telling everybody of who this guy is. Well, when the Spirit came upon the church, when God inaugurated the church, we see two things. We see what? An audible affirmation and a visual affirmation. In Jesus' baptism, we see a visual of the dove, and then we hear the audible of the voice of God. But when the church was inaugurated, what do we see? We hear the sound like wind, not wind. That's very important. What did chapter 2 tell us? When the Spirit came and filled that upper room that they were in, those 120 people, both men and women, when they were in that room, the Scripture says the Spirit came in like a blast, like a sound of a wind. But there was no wind. Meaning their hair wasn't blowing everywhere, their garments wasn't going all over like a hurricane was coming through. It just sounded like a hurricane blowing through. And everybody in the upper room was engulfed with that sound. And it was unmistakable. Everybody knew. Everybody heard it. They had an audible sound. And then what happened? It says that cloven tongues, divided tongues, rested upon each one. And it says it was like tongues of fire. They seen the visible tongues. It wasn't fire. It just looked like fire. So we have but what? An audible and a visual of the inauguration of the church as well. And the Spirit engulfed and filled them. And as we know it, that is the picture of they were all immersed. Miss Pat, and what is immersion? What's our word for immersion? They were baptized. They were immersed in the, engulfed in the sound, in the Spirit rested upon each one. Nobody was excluded. Everybody in there was engulfed in it. Just like when we trust Jesus, we are baptized into the body of Christ. And he goes on to read it. Let's read it like this. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, because they would have gone home, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly immersed, baptized you in water. You were immersed in water. Water was the mode. It was in. Our translation reads with water or by water, but the idea is you were immersed in water. You were covered up in the water, but you shall be what? Immersed or covered up in the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. So 10 days later, this is 40 days, 10 days later, this is going to happen. Chapter number 2. So look in chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. It's not a bad question. It just wasn't the right question at the right time. And we get some hints in that, that, hey, there's some things that are still yet to happen about the kingdom that we're just not going to have answers on. We're okay with that, right? I don't have to have all the answers.
Amen.
Is he trustworthy?
Come on.
Do you have to have all the answers? Do you have to know everything to walk with him?
No.
Nah. Does your grandchildren have to know everything about you to trust you? Nah. So here we are, verse number 8, but you shall receive power, take upon power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in where? Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and what? To the ends of the earth. So, Brother Shannon, not only was that a mandate upon them, that's going to be a mandate for the kingdom of God from there on out. So to go to the ends of the earth, these men wouldn't reach the ends of the earth. But you see, the message that people would believe that these men preached would continue to go to the ends of the earth. So we're included in this.
Amen.
We're part of those ends of the earth that we get to go and testify right where we are and then spread the message out and keep going with the message so that people get to hear of what God's done. But remember, there were several things that had to take place for them to be these authentic witnesses that God had set them apart to be. So go back and look in Luke chapter 24. Let's go look at Luke real quick, and we may come back and we may look at a couple different things. Luke 24, we'll see pretty much the same picture where Luke stops. Yeah, Luke 24, the last chapter in Luke, looking about verse number 44. Remember, Jesus presented himself alive to them. That was important. They needed to know they had a resurrected, living Savior. He's alive. He's alive. That goes along with what Peter said, that the prophets foretold of this day that would come and that Christ would suffer. And then there would be glories that would follow his suffering. This is part of it. We're in those glories. Verse 44 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Now, something important to note. The Bible kept giving us indications when we read in Luke and we read in John and we read in Matthew and other places. Jesus taught his disciples specific things, but the Bible says they didn't know what he meant or what he taught until after the resurrection. Meaning, they heard him say what he said, and Jesus is affirming this. I told you this while I was still with you, but you didn't understand it while I was still with you. And you see, there's something fundamental about understanding what Jesus said that is important for us to be witnesses for Jesus. So what does Jesus then do? Something that they couldn't do for themselves. Something that we can't do for ourselves. Verse 45, so Jesus opened their understanding that these disciples might comprehend, that would be understand, what?
Scripture.
The Scriptures. That they might understand the Scriptures. The Scriptures that he's mentioned, what? The Law, the Prophets, the Psalms, basically what we have as what? The Older Testament. Jesus gave them a supernatural ability as his disciples, the ability to understand that what was written in those Older Testament was all written toward and applied in him. It became clear to them what they could read about, what they grew up learning about, what they've seen, what they heard. They just wasn't able to put it together until Jesus gave them an enabling ability to understand these things. We need Jesus to do that in our study of the Scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
We need what? We need to know that we have a living Savior. He is alive. He ain't dead. Amen? He is alive. He's fulfilling everything God gave him to fulfill. And then I need to know the Scriptures that support everything that he come to say and do. And that's what opening this understanding gave them, that it gave them clarity that everything centered down and on him, and it's happened to him just the way the Bible said it would. And everything else God says is going to happen is going to happen just the way he said it is. And you know what that does to us? It emboldens us. It equips us. It gives us a resolve. It puts rebar in us to stand up where these disciples who were a little shaky with all these things, when they knew that Jesus was alive and they knew that the message of Jesus was alive to them and in them of what it's been all about. And then we see a final thing that they got to have if they're going to be his witnesses. And that is they need a living spirit where the Father and the Son, by way of the Spirit, comes and takes up his residence where? Inside of them. So to be an effective witness for Jesus, we've got to have great conviction and confidence of a living Savior who has accomplished what God said he would. We need to be able to affirm that by living Scriptures to stand on, but we need a living Spirit in us to make us alive to who Jesus is, what Jesus came to do, and empower us so that what we do for God is the work of the Spirit in us, so that when it is done, it's all of God and it's not of us.
Amen.
No different than when Jesus. Remember, the Spirit came upon Jesus, so when Jesus did what Jesus did, that was the Spirit doing what Jesus did in him. When Jesus overcome the enemy, it was the Spirit at work in him.
Amen.
And the Scriptures at work. What did he say? It's every time Satan tempted him, Jesus say, it is written. He stood on the authority of the message of God. Even when Satan knew that he would stand on that authority, then Satan attempted him to do what with that Scripture? To misinterpret it, to misapply it, to misuse it. So, yes, we need to know the Scriptures, but we also need to rightfully apply the Scriptures.
Amen.
Because the enemy knows the Scriptures too.
Come on.
And he wants us to misuse them and make them about who? About us. Yeah. For us to make them about us and not to be lived out for the glory of the Lord. So when Satan said, you bow and I'll give you all this stuff, Jesus said, look, there's only one that you bow and worship to and fear him and serve him. And that's how we have to approach everything in our life as well. Because if it's not done of the Spirit, it's not done of God. And if it's not done of God, it's not of grace. If it's not of grace, it's not acceptable. And if it's not acceptable, then what we've done has no value eternally. That's why Jesus would say in John 15 that you got to stay what? Connected or abiding in him. If you're not connected to him, you can't do anything with any eternal value because it's not the Spirit at work in you. No different than Jesus being anointed with the Spirit to do the work that he came to do. Same way with us. We need the Spirit at work in us.
Amen.
These guys had a living Savior. They had the Scriptures open to them, but they still needed the Spirit to immerse them into the body and fill them up so that when Peter stood and preached that day, it was God preaching.
Amen.
When God rescued those men on the day of Pentecost that welcomed the Word of God, it was God making dead men alive. You see, it was God at work. When they spoke in those languages that they didn't know, it was who at work?
God.
It was God at work. When those men heard the gospel and them praising God in their own dialect, who was at work? God was at work. No different than when Jesus touched Jairus's little girl and those servants, and when that woman that had the issue of blood was healed, or when he raised that widow of Nain, you know who did that? That was the Spirit of God at work in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Father at work, and Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't do anything unless he's led me first. That's why Jesus said, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit,
yes,
That means the work of God. That blaspheme of rejecting the work of the Spirit in the work of the Son, of the work of the Father, that sin is unpardonable. Why? Because you can't see the Father nor the Son at work because you don't have the Spirit at work in you. Amen. And you can't see that, and that is in a position that you can't be forgiven until you can see the Father and the Son, and that only happens by way of the Spirit doing something inside of us. Amen? Matter of fact, look, go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And then we'll head on out of here, and Lord willing, we'll gather back tonight and keep looking at this. Look at Mark 11. Look in verse number 27. Notice how, because these people were the son of the devil, John 8 would tell us that. That meant they didn't have the Spirit, because the Spirit is spiritually discerned. You can't recognize the Spirit without the Spirit. Can't happen. Verse 27 says, they came again to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking in the temple. This is just prior to his crucifixion. And the chief priests, the scribes, and all the elders, they came to him. And they said to Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said this, I will ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I do these things. He said, let the baptism of John. Now he's going to take us back to John's baptism, and he's taking us back to his baptism as well. In John, was that baptism from heaven or was it from men? Answer me. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say it was from heaven, he would say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say it's from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they didn't answer him in that way, and they said, we don't know. And Jesus answered and said, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus said, look, if you can't recognize the Spirit, there ain't no need us to go any further.
Come on.
It's that simple. If you can't recognize God and the Spirit at work in this, we ain't going no further. Because remember, what happened at the baptism of John when he baptized Jesus? What did God inaugurate? His king that had come to save his people, the Lamb of God who would give himself as a sacrifice, the Spirit came upon him, Brother Shannon, and everything Jesus did was done by the Spirit.
Amen.
So Jesus saying, the authority granted to me has been by God, and the works you've seen has been the works of the Spirit, and if you can't recognize who's given me that authority and who's done this work, we don't need to go any further than that. Amen. Because you will not see anything else.
Come on.
And that is why we have to be what? Immersed and filled up with the Spirit, because the work that we do needs to be of God through the work of Jesus, anointed and filled and applied by the Spirit of God, or it's not from God. It's not from Him. Are you with me?
Amen.
We got to have everything we do in the body of Christ to lift up and edify the body is the work of the Spirit of God. Everything we do is the work of the Spirit of God, if God is what? In it.
Amen.
And when God is in it, those that can't see it, because they can't see God, nor do they recognize who the Son is, therefore they won't see who the Spirit is, that person is still in the position of pushing back and attributes that work to who? The devil.
Yeah.
Isn't that what they attributed Jesus' work to?
Yeah.
They said, you are the son of Beelzebub, the son of the devil. The work you do is the work of the devil. That is blaspheming who? The work of?
Holy Spirit.
The work of the Spirit. Couldn't see it. So just like Jesus had to be filled and inaugurated with the Spirit, we in the kingdom of God have to be immersed into the body by the Spirit, just like John immersed them in water, so that we could be resurrected unto new life by the Spirit, so that we can do the work that God has called us to do. Staying connected in faith to Jesus and that fruit working through our life to bring glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what we see happening with Pentecost. So you don't have to go look for the baptism of the Spirit. That happened at Pentecost. That happens when you trust Jesus. You are immersed in the Spirit into the body of Christ. Now, what He's immersed us in, we then need to be filled up with, so that we can walk in the power of the Spirit, just like Jesus walked in the power of the Spirit and did the work that He was called to do. Now, tonight, this evening, we've gathered back. What time, Carolyn?
Five.
We're going to look at how these significant things happen and why they happened on the times that they happened, like Passover and Pentecost. Why was all this happening the way it happened, when it happened, and why they needed the Terry to wait for it to happen, and what they needed. Give you a couple passages to look up. Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 16. They'll give you some indications of what was going on and how all these things revealed Jesus. That's what He opened up to them, that they could understand, hey, that Passover was about the Lamb of God. That's Jesus. That sheave offering of the first fruits, that was Jesus' resurrection. These loaves of bread at the day of Pentecost that were waved before the Lord by the priest, that's the body of Christ on the day of Pentecost, being filled up for the glory of God. All these neat things that the Bible points out for us, we'll look at them this evening. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, we praise You. We thank You. We ask You to continue this work that You have begun, that we would operate in the teaching and the commands and the message that You've given to go. We go in every day. As we go, that we make it a priority to share with the world we live in about our living Savior and how Your living truth and message is all about Him and what You're doing with Him and in Him and through Him with us. Father, we need Your Spirit to continue to teach us and manifest Your things to us and Your ways, and to fill us and overflow, that when we're poked and pushed, Your truth and Your Spirit flows out of us. We thank You and bless You and ask You to help us. Help men see Jesus for who He is. Help me see who He is, what He's doing, why He's done what He's doing. And we're going to give You the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.